Well, it's a real pleasure to talk with you, Rachel. I'm glad that we were able to have all this coordinated on both ends. I know that we want to focus a lot on the brand new recording, Blues Dialogues, but there is so much that we could take the time to cover with. Incredibly prolific during your career, and as I was reading back through the discography, there are so many different ventures that you have already taken, so that the venture into to this recording is not really an unusual one. How the diversity in the musical styles that you've not only taken on as an artist, but that apparently have helped shape your life, were these all musics that you heard growing up? Were these things that mom and dad had playing in the house? How did all of these sounds kind of surround you and then engulf the music that you've gone on to make?
Yeah, well, my parents certainly didn't have heavy metal going when I was growing up, but the blues, absolutely. And actually, the blues is my second favorite kind of music after classical, because it's just, I just feel like it's, you know, in my blood, just, you know, my indigenous native music, you know, with my parents' old records and listening to things on the radio. Blues Fest every year, and I'm going to, when I was a teenager, I'd go to some of the blues bars and, you know, sneak in to listen to live bands, and it's just, you know, really feels like, you know, my musical home somehow. So I was really excited to find various repertoire for, you know, for concert music, violin recital music that has the blues as one of its building blocks.
Were there particular artists or particular composers that in the classical realm that inspired you the most as a youngster, as you were first taking up your instrument?
Oh, well, you know, growing up playing Bach in my church, and actually my last record before this one was some more Bach, his sonatas for violin and harpsichord, and there's actually a stained glass window of Bach in our sanctuary, and so, you know, that music is very close to my heart, the spiritual quality of Bach's writing. It was very, very inspiring to me. But I just love all kinds of music, you know, classical period, romantic period, contemporary music. I just love it all.
And the recording prior to the Bach, the violin sonatas with harpsichord, came the recording with the Elgar and the Bruck Violin Concerti. Do you have at any given time sort of a roadmap or a list? Because as we said, the prolific nature of your career and tackling as many pieces as you have to put those out as recordings, what are the things that are still kind of on that list that seem to be continually churning out of you?
Yeah. So, you know, this is album number 37, and I have a, you know, a wish list of many more than that. You know, hopefully not more than I can accomplish in my lifetime, but I definitely won't get bored or at a loss for what to do next. And, you know, it just runs the gamut. Composers you've heard of, composers you haven't heard of, romantic period, classical period, baroque period. There's all kinds of stuff that I hope yet to do, but I also have a lot of publishing projects going on. I'm about to release a book of some of my cadenzas that I've written subsequent to my last book of cadenzas, and some of my rock arrangements. I'm going to finally get those published. And I just came out with a book of music by Black composers after 15 years of research, collecting more than 900 pieces from more than 350 composers, men and women from all over the planet, from four centuries. We've now created our first curricular volume for violin and have a whole series planned, and music for school orchestra and so on. We created a timeline poster of about 300 composers showing the breadth and depth of Black classical music making throughout history, and also our coloring book, which is 40 of the most important Black composers, along with a biography of each. So that's been, you know, 15 years of work, and I couldn't be more thrilled that I can finally share this stuff with the public and, you know, hopefully inspire African-American youngsters who are studying classical to be, you know, that much more likely to become part of classical music's future because of recognizing that this isn't somebody else's music, that this is part of their past as well. And actually in our violin volume, we tell the stories of, like, the Black orchestras of the 1800s and the fact that Coretta Scott King and Frederick Douglass and many others played the violin. But it's also, the purpose is also to normalize diversity of repertoire for you know, students of all races and ethnicities, you know, and our volume is, it's not just that it's Black composers, it's composers from the 1700s all the way to the present. It's composers of art music, not folk music, but art music from Africa, Europe, Latin America, etc. And it's women composers alongside male composers. And, you know, so I think, you know, the next generation, having been exposed to this stuff, will, you know, expect and demand that what we hear on the concert stage, it reflects a, you know, fuller representation of our humanity.
And among those composers represented, David Baker, Dolores White, William Grant Still, Clarence Cameron White, and also Billy Childs. The new recording, Blues Dialogues, music by Black composers, violinist Rachel Barton Pine speaking with us. It's not the first time you've collaborated with pianist Matthew Hagel. Talk about how that partnership has continued through the years and the different reasons why the two of you gravitate towards each other to work on the various projects you have.
Yeah, so the pianist that I was playing with throughout most of the 90s kind of went into a different direction in his life, got much more into choir directing, and his schedule became less flexible. So I really needed a new primary collaborator, and I played with a number of different pianists that had been recommended to me, but Matthew Hagel really stood out on a number of different levels. Like me, he's comfortable in repertoire from a number of different countries and centuries, and he learns things really quick. He's a morning person, so when we have to do something in the morning, he helps keep me awake. But that wasn't why I chose him. It was just a nice side benefit. But he's, you know, just a beautiful, beautiful player. And I've really enjoyed working with him. It's one of those wonderful things. I found the same thing with my Baroque trio, where, you know, two musicians that really mesh together becomes greater than the sum of the parts. And then after you've been playing together for a while, you get that wonderful, magical thing that happens where you actually can sense what each other are doing and don't have to, you know, discuss it or cue or, you know, figure it out. But you just kind of know how each other feels and the music just flows. And that's the best.
So much of it can come down to logistics and schedules and various commitments, but I wonder how you have been able to sustain this many different activities, from the metal band to the Baroque trio to working in a chamber setting like you have with Matthew, and how the calendar continues to sort of flex between the concert schedule and the recordings that you're doing. And you know, at this point, obviously, the focus on this new release through Sadie Records with Matthew Hagel, Blues Dialogues. And what is it that, does it simply come down to who's available when, or how are you able to sort of steer the direction of, we're going to do this now for a while, and then in 2 months, we've got to shift and pay some more attention back to this? Walk us through that. Yeah.
A couple of different answers. Well, first of all, concert bookings are 1 to 2 years out. I know some of the biggest artists like Yo-Yo Ma book as much as 3 years out. So it's kind of crazy for me to open up my calendar and say, yeah, so on February 16th of 2020 at 3 p.m., here's what I'll be doing. But it allows you to, you know, to certainly make sure that things coordinate with collaborators and colleagues, and, you know, get all that organized. Then, you know, when you do have your season at hand, you have to be very strategic about planning your preparation. Sometimes I'll practice things that I am not doing until 3 months hence, because I have a little window of time this week where I can do some initial preparation work. And if I waited until closer to that concert date, I'd be busy with so many other things, I might not be able to give it the attention it needs. So I have to really carefully, you know, strategize and juggle all the repertoire that I'm carrying. But then all my other things that I do in terms of you know, publications and, you know, educational efforts and things like that, I'm able to do a lot of that work on the airplanes as I'm flying somewhere different every week. And recording sessions get basically scheduled, you know, in and around the tour dates, because, you know, once you know what your tour dates are, you can see where you have little holes and then, you know, put together a session in the studio when you have those opportunities.
In the midst of all this with your young daughter and watching her grow, I wonder how, in the midst of this schedule, or how you're able to look to those opportunities to work with young people, the chance to, whether it's master classes or working in the schools when you have those concert dates, how important it is to you, having enjoyed the career you have, to be handing it on, the music and also your own personal connection to it, to the next generation.
Yeah, well, parenthood has been absolutely wonderful. I'm just loving it. My daughter travels with me, and our nanny is a former school teacher, so she homeschools my daughter on the road as we travel around. And the brilliant thing about that is that a lot of times, you know, when colleagues, you know, become parents, then they don't want to be separated from their family for too many days, so they might cut back on some of the community engagement that they'd, you know, previously done. But for me, if an orchestra says they want me to come 3 days early and, you know, go play in a children's hospital and an elementary school and do a master class at the university and, you know, whatever they want me to do, I'm like, sure, why not? Because, you know, I can raise my daughter at home or I can raise her in a hotel and we're still together. So it works out great. And actually, now that she just turned 7 and she's been playing the violin for a few years, she joins me for many of my appearances, whether it's at a retirement home or a music school. You know, if it's for little kids, you know, she'll come and tell them about the violin. And she actually sometimes gets a better response than me, because instead of some random grown-up, it's, you know, a kid that they can relate to who's doing cool stuff on the instrument. So that's been super fun.
The new recording is called Blues Dialogues, Rachel Barton Pine with Matthew Hagel. Music by Black composers. The CD is on the Sadie label. I would ask Rachel what's next, but I guess you'd have to look at your calendar for what's happening in 2022 to give us an answer, maybe what their next project is going to be. But we certainly appreciate a real pleasure talking with you today, and thanks so much for the time.
Thank you.